Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Billy Lyle. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Emily Dickinson said, "If I can keep one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can keep one heart the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin onto its nest again, I shall not live in vain." Our guests today are people, young adults, who certainly are not living in vain. Their lives have been refocused, reshaped, refreshed, and renewed, and they are in this period and season of life, been repositioned by God to impact the lives of so many others, and they're doing it really from the inside out. And my co-host, Billy Lyle, has brought our guests in today. So, Billy, why don't you take it away and introduce them to us.
Thanks, Danny. It's great to be back in the studio with you. You know, last time I was here, you asked me to share about some of the issues that are facing young people today. And, you know, and one of the things that we talked about last time was just the whole issue of pain. That when you look at a lot of young people, a lot of times we just look at the things that they do, you know, maybe doing drugs, they're in gangs, or, you know, just a lot of mischief. You see them at the malls or at the gym or wherever mm-hmm. it is. And what we don't realize a lot of times is they're hurting. And if we can help minister to them in their pain, let the Lord transform them from the inside out, whether they're dealing with family issues or any other kind of issue, man, young people can be used by God to do amazing things. And that's one of the things that gives me joy in my ministry as a college young adult pastor and mm-hmm. The director of our campus ministry, is seeing young people get transformed and then being deployed to be used by God here in Hawaii, in U.S. mainland, and around the world. And so I brought three of our college students and young adults here today, and just that we can share their story. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it'll give you hope. Those of you that are listening, maybe you've got a son and daughter who's wayward, nephews and nieces, or you work in a church, and you're saying, man, how do we reach young people? How do we transform their lives? Or right. Is it even worth the effort? And I want to say to you today that it mm-hmm. absolutely is, because mm-hmm. God can transform. And amazing things he'll do through them if we'll trust him for that. So I want to introduce some of our guests here. First of all, you can't see them, but they're twins, Ryan and Evan Kuranishi, and Shannon Ibisu, graduates. Two of them are graduates from University of Hawaii. Evan's still in school. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start off just asking them to share a little bit of their testimony and what God's doing in their lives now, and hopefully it'll give you some hope. So we're going to start with you, Ryan, since you were the firstborn of the twins.
Well, and then Ryan is also distinguished. He has a distinguished look.
He does.
That's distinguishes him from his brother Evan, in that, you know, when you look at the face, it's the same, but the hairstyle is different.
Yeah, Ryan doesn't have any.
So distinguished one.
Yeah,
please.
I look better.
Yes.
So you look more mature by 6 whole minutes. So Ryan, you know, tell us. I mean, because you didn't grow up in a Christian home, mm-hmm. You actually got saved about a little less than 3 years ago, maybe a little over 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I still remember the first day you came to church. Just kind of tell us your experience and how did God change your life? Where'd you come from, and mm-hmm. what's he done since?
So I guess with my brother and I, we didn't grow up in a Christian home. My parents were divorced when we were two. So growing up, we never really knew what it felt like to, I guess, have a family. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, I guess, like, you know, when you're young, you don't know that it's hurting you. But I guess, like, even now, even to this day, I still see the issues that I still have just being raised in, like, a kind of like a broken family. Mm-hmm. So our grandparents raised us. And so kind of growing up, going through high school and college, I became an atheist. I stopped believing in God, and I would just, you know, just really, I chose to live a life that reflected it. Mm. And so, you know, I graduated from Aia High School and went straight to University of Hawaii, started as an engineer major, but really saw no point in school, because I just thought that, you know, why slave over a textbook for, you know, the best years of your life when, you know, we're all going to just end up in the same place. We all die one day. You know, I was thinking I could study tonight and tomorrow be hit by a bus and that's it, you know? And so I just really saw no point in school. My grades reflected it. And eventually I just dropped out of school. I was just working full time, just pretty much just saving money for the weekend, just going out drinking and hanging out with my coworkers, hanging out with my friends. And, you know, just really, I was living a life that I knew that I'll look back one day and just kind of not be happy with it, but I was okay with it.
Wow. You know, what's interesting about that, I think, you know, when you hear you share that story, I think that's what a lot of young people go through. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in ministry now for about 12 years. And just what you see, you know, because of the pain, you know, you just become a hedonist, basically, to just say, what is life worth? So I'm just going to party, have fun. But it comes out of a hopelessness and a pain, really, you know. And so Ryan, you know, drinking every weekend.
Yeah. I was, and so I was invited to our church, Grace Bible, in Grace Bible Church Proside in January 2007. I didn't believe in God. I actually went to church just to disprove it to my friends so they can get on with their life and give up this kind of like a fantasy that I thought it was.
And stop heckling you.
Yeah, and stop bothering me. And so so I guess, like, as I started going, I told myself that, you know, I'm going to give it everything that I got just so that I can look back at my life one day and say that I gave it a shot, you know, and say that it wasn't, that church wasn't for me. You know, God still doesn't exist. And just so that I could, like, kind of have a peace of mind knowing that I did everything they told me to do and it didn't work for me. And so, I'll go to church every Sunday. One Sunday, I remember, Billy asked me if I wanted to, join a small group. I told him, I told him my only day off is Monday, kind of because I knew that was his day off. And so maybe he wouldn't ask me to join one. And so we started a small group on Monday and, I'll go to that every week. I'll meet with Billy every week. And, you know, he just encouraged me to keep seeking God. And so my deal with this God I didn't believe in was I'm going to go to small group. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible and give it a couple months. Just to say, you didn't work in my life, and that was it. And so as I began to do that, though, I just felt God more revealing himself to me. And I experienced some crazy dreams and just signs and, you know, just things like I've experienced, like, water turn off in a faucet and things like that. And just crazy stuff happening. And so I got to a place in July when I kind of realize that God is real, and I began to believe in him. And more than that, I would go to church and see the people, lives that I would look up to and say, I want to be like that one day. And then I'll go to the bar and see the people there, and I'll just think, I don't want to be like that one day. You know, one day I want to have a family and I want to do these great things. And, you know, I don't want to look back on my life one day and just say, like, I was just, you know, just useless and meaningless. And so it was really that led me to, you know, kind of being sick of my lifestyle and kind of seeing the fruit of the Christians around me just led me to commit my life to God in July that year. And so, you know, since then, I felt God calling me back to school. So I went to UH, graduated with an economics degree, felt him calling me into campus ministry. So currently I'm just raising support to be a campus minister. I've been doing that for a year now, and I've seen a lot of my friends come to know God. A lot of my friends come through our small groups. I've seen a lot of people. God's used me to impact. Currently in our small groups at UH, we just started it about a year ago. We have students from around the world. We have students here locally from the neighbor islands, but also from Saipan, Hong Kong, California, Detroit, Colorado, even New Zealand.
So you're actually seeing, now you've taken us in a relatively short period of time. You've taken us on your journey.
Yeah.
A journey of skepticism, a journey of disbelief, and a real staunch disbelief to the point where you're willing to challenge, and come to a place now where, you know, you've come along that way, and your heart has been softened. The Lord used Pastor Billy and the leaders and members of Grace Bible Church Pearlside, and now you're impacting others on the college campus, others who are feeling perhaps the same despair, and not even knowing, right, Billy? Yeah. Not even knowing how to describe it. You know, despair is something that we experience. We don't always know how to express it.
Yeah.
It leaks out of us, but we might not know exactly how to express it. And the thing is, now we want you to talk about more of it later, is what you're doing or where you recently came from. I think knowing where we are in our lives today, in the Great Recession, with the economic pressures and challenges that people face, but more than that, things that are going on the global scene, and how God is using you. We need to hear, we want to hear what you have to share with us and the rest of you as well.
Yeah, and you know what I think is funny is I remember when Ryan and Evan, his brother, was coming to a small group, I knew that they were going to the bars right after small group. I knew that's where they were headed. They'd whisper and then they'd drive off. I knew they were going drinking. But you know what? God was doing something in them. And to see what they're doing now on the campuses, reaching young people, other people like them, to me is amazing that God can totally renovate and transform a life. And now, like what you said, Dan, he's used them not just here in Hawaii, but also around the world to be used by the Lord.
You mean they weren't actually fooling you when they were whispering?
Oh, no, I knew. Yeah, yeah. Oh, where is it going, Bart? Okay. Part of me wanted to, you know, slap him, but I was like, no, you know, we'll let the Lord do that when he's ready.
So. Oh, the grace of God. The grace of God. You know, we got Shannon Ibisu here and Evan Kurenishi. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from them. You know, we're just getting started. They've traveled a long ways, too. They've left the shores of the safe and secure island state of Hawaii to go someplace where much needed help is. And it's not just a place. You go to a place because there are people. And because God loves people. God loves the world. It's a huge statement, isn't it? The world. But did you know that God loves you? Yes, you. And he knows exactly where you are right now, what you're going through. You're not alone. He sent these are friends here to share with you that very thing. Stay with us. We're not done yet. We got lots more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Billy Lyle, and we've got three dynamic young people in our studio, and they're here to share out of their life, out of their hearts, to you and to your heart. To find out more about the ministry that they're involved with, you can go to www.gbchawaii.org. That's gbchawaii.org.
You know, before the break, we had Ryan share his testimony, and just coming out of pain and atheism and hedonism into now being used of God as a campus minister. Like him, we have sitting next to him, Shannon Ibisu, also a graduate of University of Hawaii, but most importantly from Pearl City High School, my alma mater. Shannon's got an also unique testimony of pain in her own life. Shannon, why don't you tell us about that?
So basically, I never grew up in a Christian home. My parents were very strict and basically, like, expected a lot of me. I had very high expectations, and I kind of felt like I could never, ever live up to it. Mm. And I always looked for kind of significance in other things, like, such as guys in my studies. And, like, I would come home with a B, and my parents would be like, why didn't you come home with an A? And it was just kind of so much pressure that I had of kind of performing and never feeling like I would amount to anything. Mm.
So how did the Lord renovate that situation in your life?
Well, one of my friends invited me to, back then it was like a power huddle, so kind of like a small group. And there were so many young people there, and I was just like blown away by how many people were there and just like worshiping God and talking about who He is. And I was so amazed that, wow, like all these people are serving God, and it was just totally amazing to me. And I was just like, oh, I might as well just try out this whole God thing. And because nothing else really worked for me, the guys and kind of feeling like I just never could amount to anything. So I felt like maybe I should just try this and see how it works and see what happens.
Yeah. And how did it go? So now what's God doing in your life now?
Basically, like I'm not so much, not that I don't care about what people think about me, but I'm a little bit more confident knowing that God knows, you know, how He created me, and just knowing that I have the confidence to be able to serve God and not have to serve man or to serve my parents even, and knowing that He has a calling for me, especially I graduated from the University of Hawaii, and kind of feeling like God's calling me back there to really, I guess, impact other students' lives, to know that they don't have to live for the success or the career or you know, the other things of the world, but really to live for God and to know that they have a purpose for their lives, and it's greater than anything that they could ever live up to.
And that's so awesome, because we can get caught in the performance trap of just trying to please and trying to succeed and excel, but all the while suffering on the inside. And now God is using Shannon to reach out to young women, international students, and just bringing the love of God back to the University of Hawaii campus.
And you know, perfectionism is, I mean, it's something that a lot of people can relate with. The pressures that come with it. Some people have come from a background like that, so they just kind of pass it on to their own children. But the destructiveness that can come along with it, and the necessity of people like yourself experiencing the change that can come in. So that, in fact, in some or perhaps maybe many instances, a B is okay, you know? And by saying that, there's a healing and there's a restoration in that. Not only just, I'm not just talking in terms of grades, but just in life. There's an extension of God's grace and His mercy.
That's great. And in that, God can use you to do amazing things. Our third, our last guest in the studio today is Ryan's twin brother, Evan, 6 minutes later than him. You've got a, God did an amazing renovation in your life too. And this is all building up to what God is using them for currently. So Evan, tell us your story briefly.
All right. Hi, I'm Evan, Ryan's younger brother. I have hair. Just as my brother was saying, my parents got divorced at the age of when we were 2 years old. Both of them got remarried, kind of started their own families a couple years later. So when I was young, I had a lot of hurt. didn't know how to deal with it. So I turned to, you know, as I grew older, I turned to relationships. I turned to alcohol. You know, just going around with the wrong crowd, breaking rules, like trying to feel connected to something to try and bring the healing. And, you know, I just, like, all of those things never brought the healing. So, like, with alcohol, I'd use it to try and heal. And after the next day when I was hungover, the pain was still there. So I drink more and more. And like, that's how, you know, that's how addictions, I learned that's how addictions start. And so, you know, as I was doing that, I was living this life. You know, I thought I was okay because my brother was worse, way worse than I was. He was like a major alcoholic, and I knew when to, you know, when to like at least stop and go home. So, you know, I thought I was okay, but I was still really hurting inside. And it took one of my friends, my friend Danny, who, oh, good name, my friend Daniel. He ended up inviting me and my brother eventually, but. One, you know, he was talking to me about God, and I wasn't really interested. And it took him just one day just showing up at my house on a Sunday night and just picking me up to go to church and pretty much interrupting my whole night. And So, you know, he brought me to church, and my first impression was it was really weird. I thought everyone was way too happy, and I just didn't, I just felt really awkward.
Because how could people be so happy, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what we wonder. What are you guys so happy about? Mm-hmm.
Is that for real?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. You discovered that it was real.
Huh? Yeah, I was so used to just running around with the wrong crowd, like a bunch of people who tried to find, you know, the healing in alcohol and drugs. And, you know, it led to a lot of everyone was bitter. Everyone had anger. And I thought that was normal. So when I came to a place where, you know, these people were like actually living out a relationship with God, and me thinking they were weird, I eventually found out that, like, I was the one that was like the one hurt. I was the one that was like farther from like who I was created to be, you know. So I started coming to church, and yeah, and even though it was weird, I found the message to be good. And you know, I started to really, I guess, seek after God a little bit. And as I did that, I was always real hesitant to really fully commit to my relationship with God. And it wasn't until I had experience with a 94-year-old auntie who, you know, she was pretty much on her deathbed, and through me praying to pretty much what I thought was just a voice in the air, and maybe just a hope because of the desperation I was in to see her healed. Like, God miraculously, like, healed her, and, you know, she lived 2 more years, like, healed her of pneumonia, heart attacks. She wasn't eating for a couple of days, and she was pretty much, they pulled the plug, and she was ready to die. And she just overnight had visions of angels, miraculously was healed, was eating again. And through that, God gave her a vision of me being there with them to pull something out of her throat to heal her. And she had visions of heaven and hell. And through that, she became a believer of God.
Wow, that's awesome.
And, you know, and God even like healed my dog of a heart murmur. Through just like wow. Me having, you know, just praying to God about it. And you know, so through that, I started to, you know, really see that God is a healer, and he's the only one that can heal me. And ever since then, you know, I'm so thankful my friend interrupted my life. And I know sometimes it's hard to go and interrupt people's lives, but it's needed, like, especially for those that are really hurt. And so that's why, like, now I'm in the school of ministry, just getting trained to, you know, go into campus ministry and go to the University of Hawaii campus, interrupt the lives of people to bring the healing, that they all need.
You know, when you talk about interrupting the lives of people,
yeah,
it sounds abrupt, right?
Uh-huh.
Interrupting. How do people respond when you do?
Most times not too well. Most times it's, you know, like, they're kind of like, oh, what are you doing? Like, why are you coming in my life? Why are you like wasting my time? I have something to go to. But the moment you show them God's love, the moment you share anything of hope, like, the, you know, like, people on the outside look like they have it more together. People on the outside who are far from God, they look like they have it more together than,
But on the inside, really, they're really broken, just like you. I mean, anyone would have looked at your life. You're a normal, you know, normal kid. But the reality is you were broken on the inside, which led you and your brother to alcoholism, all kind of stuff to mask that pain. And I think that's significant. I really do, because a lot of times we can look at people and think, they don't need God. They're fine. They got it. They got it all together. They got the money. They got the success. I mean, if you look at these three in the studio today, you never think that they were going through what they were going through, but they were all under a lot of pain. And that's kind of one of the things that I think we all need to really grasp, is that people are hurting. Without God, there's some kind of pain, whether it's an abuse, a neglect, just something that's going on, or even just a lack of hope. I mean, we can't live our lives apart from God and not have hope, So we got to just realize that, man, when we get into someone's life, God wants to interrupt them. And it's hard if you're interrupting a total stranger, but in your case, your friend Danny was your friend. You knew him, and so when he interrupted your life, it was out of love. And I think that's also significant, that we can build with our friends, and God is going to use us to interrupt their lives at some point and share with them the love of God. And, you know, after the break, we're going to come back and talk about how these three just recently went on a mission trip overseas, interrupted the lives of some strangers that they've never met, and God did some amazing things in that. But I want to encourage all of you that are listening, man, God may be wanting to use you today to interrupt someone's life. Maybe not in a rude, definitely not in a rude and abrupt way, but with love, because God is calling them. He's got a destiny for them too.
You know, somebody needs to be interrupted today. Now, of course, like, it doesn't have to be so startling or so shocking, but it could be a subtle way and a gentle interruption. And you entering into their life, as you're listening, perhaps the Lord is putting somebody on your heart. Maybe as we go to our break, the Lord puts a face in front of you and maybe a name. Although when we see names, we actually see a face of somebody, somebody that you might even think, where did that face come from? I hadn't thought about that person for quite some time. Or maybe it's somebody that you see every single day. But at some way, at some point today, you need to touch them. Somehow connect with them. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Shannon Ibisu, Evan Kurenishi, and Ryan Kurenishi. I'm here with my co-host, Billy Lyle. It's a special program today. They're local people, but they've also gone to a faraway place to meet with people in a personal way, to touch them at their exact point of need, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hear more about it when we come back from our break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiahua dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Shinetta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Billy Lyle, along with our featured guest today, Ryan Kuranishi, Shannon Ibisu, and Evan Kuranishi. To find out more about the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, to access our resources and ministries, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to hear shows like this and others. We've got shows that will literally take you around the world from guests that have been to different parts of the world, leading entertainers, top business leaders, renowned sports celebrities, and so much more, and stories that will literally grip your heart. What a fantastic opportunity to do evangelism, to reach someone that you know may know a guest of ours or can relate with their story. Invite them to go visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org. They can access these shows 24/7 online.
Before the break, we heard the testimonies of our three guests in the studio today, just stories of redemption, how God can take broken young people, transform their lives, and now they're all being used of God to do amazing things. And just recently, the three of them led a team of college students, really, and young adults, overseas to the nation of Japan. You know, as we all know, Japan's just been ravaged by earthquake and tsunamis, and our team wanted to go to bring hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, to a people largely without hope. I mean, they say that far less than a percent of the people in Japan are believers. And that's why the suicide rate is one of the highest in the world, and hopelessness runs rampant. And we're excited that our team went. So, Ryan, tell us, I mean, where did this come from, and what did you guys do in going to Japan?
Mm-hmm. So every summer our church will send short-term 2-week mission teams around the world, and we always send a team to Japan. So this year was no different. Shannon and I were going to lead a team to Japan, campus ministry, things like that. And I guess when the tsunami happened, the earthquake, I felt, okay, God, you're not calling us to go this year, and we're going to cancel the team. But I felt God saying, you know, why don't you go? You know, why don't you have faith that I will, you know, be your safety and guide you and you know, just come through for you. So we decided to stay with it. At that point, we had about 5 people on the team. We were going to go to Japan. And I guess after everything happened, like, we had just people from our church, just young adults, college students, just volunteering to come with us to Japan during this time. And we ended up going up there with 17 people. Wow. And so it was really good. We raised almost $40,000 in only like 3 short months. And we did this through garage sales, car washes, support letters, t-shirts, wristbands, events, just anything there was. We just fundraised to send all of us up there. There was not a single person who couldn't go because of finances. There was one person who on the last day was $600 short and just got, you know, God came through. He had another church from where he's from in Guam just give him the support he needed to go. And so it was really cool to see, like, God, you know, just calling us and then just sending us. And so we went to Sendai. We went to Yokohama. We had a team of 10 to Yokohama, 7 to Tokyo. And we met up in Sendai to do relief work up there.
You know, that's so awesome because this is the time where people are running away from that area because of the nuclear threat and all of that. And here you guys are at your own expense, working hard to go there. And so I think that's just a picture of the church and the picture of the gospel, that we penetrate areas that people are running from. So I want to applaud you guys at that. You had some amazing things happen while you were in Japan. Shannon, tell us one story that stands out to you.
So I met this lady. We were actually cleaning up. We partnered with a Christian organization, Samaritan's Purse.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually took us to different locations to help in the neighborhoods to clean up rubble. And
tell us about that. I mean, what was that like? I mean, we see it on TV, on YouTube, on the internet, what it's like. I mean, when you guys drove in to Sendai, I mean, what was that like?
It was crazy. Like, miles and miles.
Wow.
Of like rubble and houses destroyed and like just cars turned over on trees, on like I can't even, it looks so like a movie.
I think for me, watching it on TV, seeing the rubble from a bird's eye perspective, it shows the devastation, but it wasn't until I got there, it was the smell of dead fish, seawater. Just a really bad smell, along with like rotten food, giant flies everywhere, crows in the air. And the thing that would get me is, as we walk past the house, seeing like a broken picture frame of, you know, seeing the actual family that lived there.
Wow.
And, you know, it was those little things, those real personal things that really hit me to really like make it real personal. You know?
Because in an instant, their whole lives literally got washed away.
Mm-hmm.
And you met a woman, Shannon, and who's... was her home got washed away. She probably had picture frames like ones that Evan saw.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience.
We had wheelbarrows and shovels, and we were dumping rubbish to a huge pile that I guess that's where the crane came and took it, all the rubbish away. But I had saw this lady standing on the side, and she was just like staring at a house, and so I thought that was her house that she was looking at. So I just kind of felt prompted to go over and talk to her. And I didn't really know that much Japanese, and she barely spoke English. But we had a short conversation, and I eventually had to pull a translator because I didn't understand what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But basically she said she lost everything. Her house was gone. She lived about 15 minutes away from where we were, and pretty much lost her dog, lost her best friend. She starts like crying, and they told us like don't cry, just be strong for them. And I was just like, I cannot cry, like so I just start bawling with her.
Wow.
And she's just like holding my hand and just telling me about her experience with the tsunami, and it was just devastating. Yeah.
You know, the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn, to weep with those who weep, and in those moments we can really bring healing to people who are hurting. You know, and so you guys went there to go and bring that healing. Other stories that stand out to you from this experience. I mean, like I said, this people are running from this area. You guys are going there, cleaning up rubble, working with Samaritan's Purse. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the first day we went to Minami Sanriku, the hardest hit area. Just crazy, the devastation. I had to remind myself that I was looking at a city, not like just a wasteland, and it's just crazy, the devastation. But the second and third day, there's just a story that really stands out to me. We went to Ishinomaki. It's a 45-minute drive from the ocean on the freeway, and that city was just devastated by the tsunami. And while we're there for 2 days, our team, there were 17 of us with some people from Japan. We had a team of 30 just show up at this man's house, Mr. Suda. He was an elderly man, maybe like in his late 70s, early 80s. And really, our job was to just clear out his yard. And so in the beginning, we show up at his house, just 30 people start cleaning. And you could tell he didn't seem so pleased. He was sitting there. He was kind of grumpy. He wouldn't really talk to us. But as we started cleaning, I guess his mood started to change. Not only would we just dump everything, but anytime we found something valuable, we would, actually ask him if you want this. And we had a pile for his valuables, just wheelbarrowing things out. And it got to a place where by the end of the day, he was talking to us, he was smiling. We're able to give him a card, just like an encouragement card that we made here in Hawaii with some international students from Japan that are here in Hawaii for a semester or two. And he started to smile with us, to joke with us. And by the end of the day, we're just cleaning up his yard, talking to him, praying. We got to pray with him.
That's great.
You know, and really just seeing God use us. Just, you know, from our perspective, there's so much to be done. But from his perspective is that 30 people just shows up at his house and just, you know, refuse to leave until the work is done. And so the second day we got back to finish, and we found out he wasn't going to be there because his wife actually passed away that night. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so we really made a commitment that we're gonna just, you know, finish the job. And so the whole day we're cleaning the gutters out, you know, even going through the bushes to pick up debris. And we broke down a shed in his yard that was just demolished. And we actually used the roof of the shed to rebuild a wall that was blown in. And so that whole day we worked, and we left before we could see him, but we heard that he arrived back at his house shortly after. And when he saw everything, he just smiled at it. You're just seeing like his yard was completely, you know, it looked brand new. It was clean. They said they're gonna pressure wash the sidewalk, and just to really see like how, you know, 30 of us shows up at a man's house, cleans his yard for 2 days, even amidst his wife passing away, there was still, you know, God uses to bring, you know, that hope into his life. And so it was really a good experience to see like just how we can impact just one person overseas, and just walking the streets praying with people. We would have never been able to do this if it wasn't for the events that happened, and God used it to use us.
And it's just so awesome, because a lot of times we think that preaching the gospel is handing out tracts or standing on rooftops shouting, you know, but a lot of times it's going and loving and meeting people's real needs, and through those needs we can minister the love of Christ through prayer, through words of encouragement. But if we don't meet people's needs, the gospel can sometimes seem meaningless to them.
Mm-hmm. And when I think about and listen to you, I think it was St. Francis of Assisi that said, right? He said, preach the gospel. If necessary,
use words.
Use words. And you guys are preaching with action.
That's great. After our break, we're going to hear more about what the team did in Japan. There's some great stories of God showing up and touching lives. But I want to just encourage you today that if you're listening, there are people all around you with needs. There's people all around you, like we've talked about through the first half of the show, with pain. And sometimes you can't tell. They're the good-looking ones. They're the rich ones, or they're the whatever. We can't tell, but there's always pain, especially if they're apart from God. And God's calling us to come near to them, love them, be the good Samaritan to them that'll open up their heart so that we can speak the word of truth, the hope of the nations, the love of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he wants to use you. He wants to use me. And so let's be like that. We don't have to go overseas to do it. We can go across the street, across the cubicle, across the hall, and find a person who needs to be served, to be loved, and to be shared with.
Leave it to me. I lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me. I lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Billy Lyle, and some very special guests, Shannon Ibisu, Ryan Kuranishi, and Evan Kuranishi, sharing about their amazing exploits in the service of the Lord in a point of great need in the nation of Japan. They're talking about how they're relating the message of the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, to people. You know, we talk about the immense devastation, and yet it's very easy to forget that a woman lost her house, mm-hmm. a man lost his wife, a woman lost her pet, and picture frames are shattered, and you can see the crows flying, and you can smell the stench of old and rotten food, and whatever else is there. I remember hearing another friend talk about miles and miles and miles. He says you can drive, and it's just so overwhelming mm-hmm. to see the devastation that it's hard for even somebody in the state of Hawaii to really imagine what actually took place. But you've described it for us. Now, sometimes our lives are such that we feel like we've got our own tsunami. Mm-hmm. We're going through a tsunami ourselves. We're going through our world. Our own world is shaking. Our emotions are such that we're on a fine thread that's burning to the very edge, and we don't have much left. Or psychologically, mentally, we're just exhausted. Well, the Lord knows and He loves you, and He's here to encourage you even through that. That's the reason we have the show. And maybe you're just a step away from entering into the most important relationship mm-hmm. that you would have, that each one here has experienced that in the love of Jesus. And one way you could do that is you say, I want to find out what does it mean to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org to find out more. Just go ahead and click the Get to Know Jesus tab, and I have an explanation there for you, and I tried to make it real personal just so that you would feel and know that it's the Lord who's speaking directly to you.
Earlier in the show, we heard the testimony of our three guests in the studio and how God transformed their lives and is now using them on the campuses here, but they recently took a team to Sendai, Japan, and Shannon was sharing about a woman that she got to talk with, cried with, who lost everything in the tsunami. And Shannon, you also got a chance to pray with her and bring her to the foot of the cross for a moment. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was actually crazy. So she was crying, and I just felt a tugging to pray with her. So I asked her, I was like, well, would it be okay to pray for you? And immediately she said yes, and she asked, like, oh, are you a Christian? And I immediately said yes, and she said, I asked her if she was a Christian as well, and she said no, she's a Buddhist, but she had said that her brother is a strong Christian, mm-hmm. and she had a lot of friends that were Christians as well, so she was familiar, I guess, with who God is in prayer. And so we prayed for her, and after we prayed, she had shared with us that she just felt like this strong peace come on her, and I knew that was God.
Yeah.
And she was just so touched, and she cried even more after
wow.
saying that she was so blessed that we came all the way to Japan to help clean up and just serve. And she was just like amazed. I don't know how many times she said thank you,
wow.
but she was just like in tears and just such a gratitude of her heart, and really being able to see hope after, like, mm-hmm. really arise in her. Like, from the first time I talked to her to the end of our conversation, like, you could see there was God was doing something
yeah.
in her heart. And mm-hmm. just
It's unmistakable, and it's unavoidable. When we lay down our lives, as the Bible says, to love our friends, to serve them, I mean, you guys rebuilt houses, cleaned yards, cleaned up rubble. It touches people's lives. And the man, Ryan, that you guys got to clean his yard, God was doing some stuff in his life, too. Mm-hmm. And it was just the beginning of things that were to come. Tell us about that.
With Mr. Suda, Yeah, so we got to pray with him, and I guess one thing that, you know, we worked with Samaritan's Purse, which is a great organization that does relief work around the world, and one thing that they were kind of questioning and we were also questioning was who's going to follow up with him. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool how as we were there cleaning the streets and really doing the work that no one wants to do is cleaning the gutters. In Japan, it's a little different than here. You gotta, it's hard labor. It's stink. You get dirty. You know, it just, no one wants to do it. And so as we're cleaning the gutters, all the neighbors began to ask us if they could have their gutters clean. And so Samaritan's Purse, the head of the relief efforts in Ishinomaki, this guy Brock Kritzberg, he was super excited, saying that because of you guys, you know, we're getting all these requests now to stay in the neighborhood, and more than that, they're gonna build more with Mr. Suda. And just be in the area. And that organization, they emphasize, you know, it's not only relief, but it's also bringing people to Christ. And we prayed with neighbors, you know, surrounding his house, and just to really see that we didn't just, you know, just go and leave, but it's really leaving, you know, that ability for them to really build relationship and to stay there. And you know, our team of 30, I say maybe half of them, they don't even know the difference between a Phillips and a flathead screwdriver. That's how gifted we are.
I know. Yeah. What is that?
And so, but Brock said that, you know, in all the teams that he had, that we were the best one that he's seen. You know, and so it's really it's nothing on us. We're not even gifted in any way, but it's just really you know, knowing that if God calls you, He'll qualify you, He'll equip you, and He'll give you the grace needed to do what He's called you to do.
And you know what I think it is? It's the heart. Because you guys didn't go there to win accolades, get on the news, or anything like that. You went there to love people, like the woman, Shannon, you got to pray with, Mr. Suda. And the love opens doors. You know, it's the heart of us that when we come to serve others, to love others, to sacrifice, lay down our lives for others, as Jesus did, it opens doors for people now wanting to hear and wanting you to stay in the neighborhood.
And, you know, we hear about that all the time, love and service. Someone in the body of Christ, it's always serve. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. And it's graphic in that. What does it mean to serve? And for you guys, you did the dirty work. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff nobody else wanted to do, the stink stuff, the dirty stuff. But through the dirty work, God opened up people's hearts. It's like a flood of open hearts to receive the message of the Lord, the love of the Lord, because of the dirty work. And how many of us, we can say it, but how many of us actually are willing to do the dirty work? This is the stuff that no one else wants to do.
Yeah, and didn't they say it's the soil that's contaminated with radioactive?
Yeah.
And you guys were in the midst of that. I mean, you weren't worried. You were just saying, man, God's called us to be here to get our hands dirty, literally. Mm.
I think just being there and trying to talk to the people in Sendai, being a heavy Buddhist culture, how they deal with suffering is to really try and, you know, explain it away and say it doesn't exist. And a lot of them are in denial. You know, they're in denial about what is going on. Mm. They really don't know how to deal with it. And it's pretty much the Christian organizations that are going into the place of suffering, because, you know, we're the ones that have the hope, and we're the ones that know that God can use any like bad situation and turn it around for His good and bring people to know Him and bring the healing that, you know, God is backed up by the power of God. So it's encouraging to see Christians going in, not like hiding the pain, not trying to downplay it, but really going in and bringing the knowledge of God to people and praying with them and bringing like true healing to them.
And you know what's so encouraging to me is you guys are all under 25, and you guys went and you said, man, God, use me to go and touch a nation, go to run to people's pain, and bring the love of God.
I'm glad you said that, Billy. I'm glad you said that. You know, it's so easy to think that, oh, these are, you know, they're well seasoned in life, and with all the experience, they're young and young and vivacious and just eager to go and do whatever God wants. And you're an inspiration to us and to people, you know, I wish I was in my 20s again.
And I wish we had more time I wish we had more time to go into this other stuff that they did in Japan. They went into the college campuses to preach the gospel to the streets, and they saw people get saved, get healed. I mean, just amazing things happen.
Let's just say this is part of an ongoing saga of what God is doing in the lives of young adults.
I love it. I love it.
Billy, you know, somebody today is like we've been talking about, is needing a word of hope, word of encouragement. Why don't you give us a parting shot?
Well, I think, you know, like what we heard here, devastation is obvious in a place like Sendai, Japan. You see it everywhere. But devastation is not always obvious in the soul of a human being. It's not always obvious in the soul of your coworker, in the soul of your boss, your nephew, your niece, your mom, yourself even. But there's devastation all around us. We live in a fallen world where the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's done a good job of it. Mm-hmm. But just like our team physically went in and was able to clear the rubble in that nation, clear the rubble out of that man's yard, we're called as Christians to clear the rubble out of the lives of people. And not that we do it ourselves, but we introduce them to the one who can, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who can heal the wounds, clear the rubble, and bring them to a place of true healing. And I think for you, if you're here today, you're listening today, and you say, man, there's rubble in my life, there's devastation in my life, I want to encourage you, invite the Lord in to bring transformation. Get connected to a church and a people who love you and who can help you to get to know this God who wants to clear that rubble away. Because he has a destiny for you that he wants to unleash. And if you're here today and you're saying, man, God's done amazing things in my life, then God wants to use you to go clear the rubble out of someone else's life. Devastation is all around you. We just got to know where to look and run to it and bring the love of God there.
A word from Billy Lyle to you. A word from God's heart through him right to your heart today. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, God is a God whose heart is for you. And he knows you by name. He knows, as Jesus said, every hair on your head is numbered. Basically, he's saying, you know, there's not an intricate detail or secret in your life that the Lord doesn't know. But in that, his love is so vast and so great and so immeasurable. And yet it's so tangible, touchable, and that God can touch your heart. Would you receive the love of God into your heart today? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You know, we get to know Jesus. That's the heartthrob of this ministry. In the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from people like our guests today. I want you to go to the website. We've got a lot of resources for you. We have prayers that are there set up for you. Go ahead and visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Scripture for today, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to our guests today, Shannon Ibisu, Evan and Ryan Kurenishi, along with my co-hosts, Billy Lyle, and my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.